Is there a cap behind me? Can we just spray?
Just don't spray.
I can do
spray.
A bet.
Just spray Freddy. No. Just spray Freddy.
No. I'm not spray him.
Do it.
Spray
maybe
the cap.
It's insulin.
He's comfy right there.
I don't care. I don't care.
If he does anything, I'll spray him. So start the podcast. Go.
Okay. I want the bottle. All right, guys. Hey, how's it going? This is Freddy for number two of the Face Rocker podcast. We got, once again, Matt. And today we're joined once as... I'm terrible at this.
Keep it going.
Matt, we have Brandon, and we have Logan. Brandon wasn't here last week, and he joins us now. Say hi, Brandon.
Hey, guys.
All right. So
should we all like identify ourselves so they know what voice is?
Yeah, right? Yeah. This is Matt.
This is Logan.
Logan, I put you slightly to the right. So Brandon. For people who are closing their eyes and imagining that they're in the room with us, imagine Logan slightly to the right.
And now he's got two beers in his hands.
I literally, yes, I'm double fisted right now. For rapid reload.
And just very quickly, I think we should probably just note that Brandon and Matt are both 25 as of yesterday. So it's their birthday this weekend.
Happy birthday, guys.
Thank you, Logan.
Thanks.
How old are you?
25.
Yes, Logan. This is going to be a long conversation.
Freddie was really comfortable to start this, and then the cat moved in right behind him, and
his allergies are coming,
and he's like sitting, his posture's all nervous.
Play-Doh, by the way, is a little dick of a cat. Play-Doh's Matt's cat.
Play-Doh?
Logan, have you ever met Play-Doh?
I've seen him. I never like shook his hand or anything.
Well, it doesn't help that Brandon used to terrorize Play-Doh mildly.
Play-Doh is probably the best cat on the planet.
Let's talk about cats for a second.
Sure.
Right. Question one. That's a good one. Why would you get a cat?
Why would I get a cat?
What is the purpose of...
Give one good reason.
Yeah, one good reason? I think cats... actually, I think we had talked about this before, the difference between cat people and dog people. And somebody broke it down.
Yeah, dog people really are carefully. Smart.
The difference is dog people are 99% of everyone.
Everyone, yeah, right? No, it was an animation guy. I was talking about how dogs, they emote very like human emotions. So people have very like, you know, emotional connections to their animals because they have raised eyebrows and they look
well,
sad.
They were actually...
Cats look like little aliens. And if you're amused by creatures or you want to like have a pet who's just hilarious, then, you know, and you don't care about the emotional connection, then you get a cat. Because I would say a cat is more... Dogs annoy me. Like dogs, they're so loving and they just bother you. This cat is just like ridiculous. Yeah, I can push him over.
This cat's a dick, though.
No, it's everybody else but me.
Well,
so that's why I love
them. Most cats are dicks. The only cats that aren't dicks are described by their owners as being like dogs. They're like, it's so funny. This cat's like a dog.
Yeah. No, my cat's not like a dog. He's completely bipolar. He's the most affectionate cat I've ever met, but he's also the most aggressive. He's got wild.
Like our roommate Dez was getting
territorial problems. He was attacking Dez.
Yeah,
but to me that was hilarious. Like that was no dog would have done that. So that was awesome.
So it's only funny when your little minion attacks.
Cats are great companions. I don't know, he's awesome. I like my cat.
Here for me is the case in point is that if you die in your house and no one discovers you, within 3 days your cat will start to consume your face. If you die, a dog will starve in your house next to you before touching you.
There were those two pugs last year that ate the old woman.
Yeah. Wait. All the dog stories, by the way, are always like that. I always hear that dog story. It's like, your dog will save you in the fire. That's like one dog out of a million. What was that? Go on Google right now.
Most dogs are cowards.
Yeah, go find dogs saved. And there was this thing I forget. This is going to
sound like a lot more dog stories.
There's that horrible disaster. There was that horrible disaster. They showed a picture. I don't want to say, I don't know what it was. They showed a picture. I saw this picture on Reddit. It was like,
oh, you're talking about the dog who's sitting next to his owner's grave, right?
And my thought is that dog's hungry. And he's waiting for, it's like this, everybody starts like humanizing this animal and be like, oh, he's so sad for his owner. He's like, I think where's my food? And that's the last place he got fed and he's waiting to get fed. And that's all it is. And I think that's the same with cats. I think people add too much emotion. Freddie's like messing with the mic.
Freddie's doing some audio.
I'll say, well, you're this is my best dog experience ever. Was one time in Minnesota. I was riding my motorcycle, and a dog was running alongside with me. We were going back through cornfields that had already been harvested. And while we were back there, we ran into there was a deer across the field. And there was this moment where I saw the deer. I looked over. My dog saw the deer. She looked at me and she almost like gave me this knowing thing that like she was gonna take the left and I was gonna take the right. I went to the right.
You take the high road.
We were advancing
riding a bike and the dog's riding a bike.
I was riding a motorcycle. The dog was running.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. The dog is riding a motorbike.
This story is not
one
more.
At first, I thought it was like a dog in a sidecar, but then you guys pulled up, and the dog has foot pedals.
But either way, there was a moment where as we were riding, she kept looking at me. I kept looking at her, and we both like went on either sides of it and were chasing it and got on either side of it. Like I was part of the dog pack for a little bit there, and then once we ran out, we ended up running out of field, and I had to stop before I hit a fence. She jumped through the fence, but immediately when she saw that I couldn't come, she stopped.
I saw the.
It was amazing.
I read an article this week that was talking about a guy who says that he was like, you know, living with wolves.
I was just going to say, so two things. I want to put two things on the agenda. Living with wolves, man.
Okay. All right, consider that done. Let me just mark that off.
And then did you hear about the, like, the canine unit? So, like, obviously, like, when you're a canine unit, like, in Afghanistan, you, like, live with your dog, right? Your dog becomes, like, your best friend.
Yeah.
And, like, when you're done, the dog's also done because it's, like, so imprinted on you, right?
Yeah, forever.
Did you guys hear about this?
No.
So they went, like, the guy came back home. He was done with his tour of duty or whatever. And then the dog got lost. And he was lost for, like, 12 hours. They finally went, like, he got picked up by the pound. And he goes down there and they had already euthanized the dog.
After 12 hours?
After 12 hours.
And this is like a trained dog. So this dog probably could have fought.
This dog probably has millions of dollars of like U.S. defense money put into it.
The dog's writing a eulogy inside his cell. What is this life? What does this mean?
Insane.
Yeah.
That's so what did he do?
I mean, what's the point of that story? It's just depressing.
He just raged out on them?
I just can't. No, he was in tears.
He probably raised hell in there.
Yeah.
I would hope.
Yeah.
This is a man who's seen his friends die in battle and didn't shed a single tear.
And now his dog makes home.
That's the sad part. The dog and him made it. Like, so many IEDs dodged.
Yeah.
Then he gets home and the dog gets lost at the park.
For a second, I said the dog and he made it.
I heard made it too.
I was like, that's the twist of the story. That's an incredible story.
So let's talk
that's
about
a movie right there.
I don't know about Wolfman, and I'm sure some of the people here listening don't. So I briefly explain who Wolfman is.
I'm afraid you're going to.
Well, just briefly, there was a guy, you know, and I'm going to get all the details wrong, but there was a guy who's said that he was, you know, in Alaska and he, you know, was living with wolves and like finally had to stop because he was so emaciated by eating all, you know, this raw, he would eat raw flesh. I remember the emaciated thing,
like he couldn't survive as a wolf for more than a year. And he was only eating raw meat and like
yeah, they would bring raw meat to him, and then what's funny about this one is they're like they accepted me into the pack and I became the caretaker of the young. It's like, so what you're saying is these wolves made you their bitch, like, right? You know what I mean?
They never answer the question that everybody asked though, which is, was he naked? Did he spend the year naked like a wolf, or did he wear clothing? And was it the same clothing, or did he like? Did he skin a wolf and like wear its pelts so he like
so that he could blend in?
Was like human in wolf's clothing, like
so that he could blend in?
Yes.
So what did the article say? If it didn't explain all the good parts, I mean, what is
it? It said that he lived in the wild, and then it like told about like the few times that he like. He realized like the true power of the wolf. Like,
yeah. There was one time when he was like, I was going to the river for a drink, and then a wolf confronted me.
And I feared for my life, but then I saw the bear tracks and realized like
he was only protecting me because I was one with the pack or something. I don't know, you know. And there was another one where he was talking about.
Where was this guy? And why did he start with the wolves? Where was this?
This was like some nature reserve, like in Oregon. Of course.
Oh, it is like in America.
Of course it's Oregon. Course, yeah. That's,
yeah.
Fun little fact I learned this week. Do you guys know where abominable snowman tracks come from? Like Bigfoot tracks?
Bigfoot.
Incorrect.
What?
You would think.
Mind blown. Explain, Logan.
It is, in fact, running bears. When a bear runs, its paw print stretches out and looks like an elongated human foot. And so, like when old, like in the 1900s or 19th century, like when they saw a Bigfoot track, it was actually just a running bear print.
Bears run all the time, though.
So they'd be everywhere.
You think they'd be all over the place?
I mean, sometimes they're lurking. Like, sometimes they're
Well, I'm sure sometimes.
Bears are pretty big. I never figured bears just ran around. I figured they kind of lumbered until they saw
food. This is something that we learned a bunch of. First of all, we learned a bunch of facts from the bear trainer for bear.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, first of all, on a flat-out sprint, the bear can get, like, some.
Oh, no, I know. Bears insane. Super fast.
Bears can go 30 miles per hour, because I made a bet that I could run faster than a bear.
And you could.
Who did you make that bet with?
And bears.
You lost the... How did you... Did you test... Wait, no. First of all, who did you make
it up?
Who did you make a bet with?
Bears run faster than a bear.
Who did you make?
Allison. So it should be noted that up until a few weeks ago, I thought I was the fastest man alive.
Yeah, you would even say... I remember this. You would say that you could...
Beat Reggie Bush in a sprint.
I was. It is no longer present.
Didn't Jimmy beat you outside? Didn't we do a race outside?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
I finished in front,
The thing was, like, it would have been, like, I was not only bummed out that I lost, but I didn't think I was just going to win. I thought I was going to smoke Jimmy by like a good 20 seconds.
You were a cocky.
Like, in a 10-second race.
In a 10-second race. Like, I literally thought like I was going to get to the point where like my feet were losing traction with the ground.
You remember that Eggo commercial so where the grandma steals the Eggo? That's what you imagined. Remember? It's like the Eggo, the thing pops, and then all of a sudden they go and there's no Eggos left, and the grandma's eating the Eggo. And they're like, what the hell? And then they just rewind slow motion. The grandma runs so quickly to get the Eggo. You can't even see her.
That's in fact what I expected. So the fact that I didn't just win by a small margin, but flat out
actually lost
by a good margin too. By the way,
yes,
I remember.
That was brutal.
How did you sleep that night? Not well, I assume.
Well, I picked up my training, and I think if we race again, I think I'd beat Jimmy.
Wait, so you want to actually do this again?
So next podcast, we'll have an answer.
It should be noted that I get on the stationary bike half an hour every day now.
And if Logan does beat Jimmy, we'll have to assume
I have this problem with my jeans right now where the quads don't fit. Like, my thighs don't fit in my jeans.
So you guys don't know, but Jimmy is actually the fastest guy currently in the world. So if Logan can only beat him,
it's the only thing that's ever.
Jimmy is the current fastest man alive.
We'll just send out an open invitation to the fastest men in the world. If they'd like to
I challenge you, Logan. Like octagon style underground race.
Dare you to race.
That'd be a this movie right there.
5'7".
How's that?
180-pound white dude.
Yeah, how's that though? That's a movie right there. The underground, like, sprinting to the death. You know, so it's like Chariots of Fire meets that Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
I brought this up at work once. And like the person was like, why would you think that, Logan? Well, how could you ever think? It's not like you're from some remote village in the Pacific Islands. You've lived amongst men your entire life. You're fast. Somebody would have picked up on it by now.
There have been some coach that said, Logan.
Logan, hey.
You have to.
Very well may be.
The fastest man alive.
Fastest man alive.
They
wouldn't have never known. They wouldn't have ever known, because when I was at my true peak, I had knee surgery. And then I broke my
ankle.
Oh,
so it's more that you could have been the fastest man alive.
But they clipped my wings, dude.
They clipped my wings.
Yeah. Usain Bolt's just lucky that someone happened to notice that he was fast.
I was also the fastest man
two
alive.
Two more weeks, he would have broken his legs. It would have been over.
That's all that happened.
Yeah, Matt could have been the fastest man alive. Yeah, been. Broke his toe in a hilarious way.
Well, I still consider myself unusually fast. Like, my arms can make whoosh noises.
You know, you can do that. I think you can do that just by standing here and spinning. I think you can...
I want to get Logan to go. So I
can have to take the mic and pick it up.
Everybody's got a mic right now.
Yeah. Oh, Matt's getting some good ones.
All right, I got
somebody's
definitely
whooshing. I can hear it. Flying across the room.
So, Logan, what do you think of Little Big Planet
2? So, your arms can make whoosh noises, huh? Great. Fantastic, Logan.
All right. Little Big Planet 2.
Okay. Real quick, as background.
We're working on our smooth transitions.
I know. That was
I worked that in.
That was good. I know that.
Being fast.
Wait, real quick. So that people can understand what's going on. Matt, you gave Logan your copy of Little Big Planet 2, which came out.
Yeah, I picked it up and I played a little bit.
When did it come out? This week?
It came out this week.
Okay.
And I gave it to Logan.
What did you think?
Why
am I getting confronted?
That's true. I got really bored of Little Big Planet 1 when I played it, and I tried making a few levels, and it was just too much. I mean, the amount of effort it takes to do a Little Big Planet level, you could literally learn.
PlayStation controllers were not built with level building.
I could have learned JavaScript and like done something in a real engine by the time I did anything Little Big Planet. And just the basic controls and physics are so bad in that game that I just couldn't stand the platforming. Little Big Planet 2, the same issues, physics and stuff, same problem. The thing I do like about it is I like that when you don't have friends to play with, they actually just flat out say, do you want to play online? You click on a level in single player and says, do you want to play with people online? And you just say, yeah. And I just join somebody.
Yeah.
And that's the future of multiplayer. So I like that. And you know, it's cool that the engine's bigger, but it's still, the levels themselves are okay. And it requires you to essentially make the game in order to have fun, I guess.
Well, so this is like one of the few survivors of like the great user generated gold rush of like 2000.
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
Where every game featured user-generated content. Like, you could build your own levels, or all the content was
made by
players.
I hated that, by the way, because like I would just sit there and be like, I just want to play good levels.
That's really the issue, is most people suck.
Yeah,
so,
they do.
Fun little bit of trivia here. Twilight Zone, the old show with Rod Serling, before our time even, was noted for being the first show where anybody could send a script
into your cat.
What happened with the cat?
No, sorry, you could send in a script to the Twilight Zone.
Yes. But he had to stop after a month because only 1 out of 1 million scripts
were the shittiest scripts.
even that one was not made because it was far shittier than the hackiest writer could have written.
I remember when they touted like 3.5 million levels.
Yeah, like, well, thinking, who cares?
One, I'm not going to play that many levels. And two, how many of those are shitty? And the answer is 99.9999%.
I mean, there's a few pretty stellar levels.
Well, they did a good job. So that's the one thing I also like about you is they actually have molecule picks where the actual developer picks good levels.
Yeah.
And I played through a few of them and they were good levels. As opposed to the first game, I never played a single good level.
So did you guys ever hear about my little bit of history with Little Big Planet?
No.
God, I don't even know how this happened, but me and Blade, my little brother, got like handpicked to play Little Big Planet for a commercial. Like we had a...
Really?
Yeah, and that actually paid for the PlayStation 3 and Little Big Planet and a bunch of games that are really
bad.
Wait,
is this commercial out there?
I don't know.
We'll look it up.
Yeah, so it was a commercial where me and Blade play Little Big Planet, and then we talk about how much we like it. I think it didn't make it.
Because you were so unabashedly in love with it.
This is the best game I've ever played.
Well, the biggest issue was me and Blade sat unusually close to one another because we were trying to play up our brotherliness.
Right.
But it just came across as a really gay game.
It's a gay game.
It's really like, we love playing together. And like one would like lean over to him and be like, say who you guys are. How are you related?
We're brothers.
We're people who love each other deeply. We've always loved each other.
We're just two men who love to be next to each other and play this game together.
We live together. We have a place.
We have a place. A cat. Two cats.
No matter what happens, I want it. Incredible.
Oh,
man. I'll have to see if that commercial's up.
So, yeah, so what do you think about it? I was actually forced to play like the top user generated levels because that was what the commercials were for.
About.
So we only got the cream de la creme. And even that was kind of like a mediocre Mario Brothers level. But the biggest problem with Little Big Planet is you start this game, right? And first of all, so the starting of the game is this giant cutscene with all these children playing and they're building,
live action,
yeah. Building things and drawing pictures on chalkboard and basically living life, like imagining things, having fun with all your friends. This is the most unideal thing to be watching while you're alone drinking on a Friday night at 1 in the morning. It's just like, think about how lonely you are right now. Secondly, it's implying that Little Big Planet, by playing Little Big Planet, you're doing the exact same thing these kids are doing, right? Like building, being creative. But you can do that for free by just sending your kid outside.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay $60 for this.
Or yourself just playing with blocks.
Exactly. And you're like, well, you're learning how to program when you play Little Big Planet. Like, you're making your own experiences, and you're like, they have Sackbots now where you program robots. But I guarantee you, a kid would get far more out of just like a Lego Mindstorms kit. Like, if you just bought your kid some Legos and like a knitting kit so he can make his own Sackboy.
Would you buy if you had a son, would you buy him a knitting kit?
Yes, and he'd use it every day after he goes to Krav Maga.
So, I think I posted that Escapist show. That Escapist show is only. I mean, it was okay. It's a skit show. I forget what it's called. Like that game show. But at the end of it, they did a Little Big Planet thing with.
Right. They do. They
that
do
was
a
way
live,
cooler.
You, they do a live Little Big Planet. Like, it's actually kind of like Be Kind Rewind. Like,
exactly.
Called? Like Dutching a movie or like kludging it.
Sweeting.
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 Right.
Sweeting, yeah.
The other Sweden. Nordic country.
Yeah.
So that you can almost, Swede it and they Swede Little Big Planet.
I can guarantee like, you they had more fun making that in real life.
Exactly. It's like, dude, don't have your kid make a level. Just like send him outside with some cardboard, right?
Yeah,
like,
make it.
Exactly. Like, so.
And I wouldn't have a problem if the physics felt like Mario or something. But instead, you're just this super floaty.
You know what? I thought the game feel was pretty good.
Really?
So the biggest issue with these games, it's kind of like open world games. You're just like, why? What's the motivation?
What's the point of playing?
Like, I guess it's fun, but so is playing checkers. But you only play one game of checkers, and then you stop. Like, and the way to get around that is with the narrative, right? So most games have a story, and you're driven to complete that story.
Look,
so
I guess I'm actually louder than you.
No, it's not louder.
Popper. I'm getting a popper now.
Popping. And so, I didn't notice the story in the first Little Big Planet, correct?
There was one. I didn't notice it either. This one had like 10 minutes of cutscene before
this one really pushed the story, and there's these characters. But the big problem is, with the story is, I guess, the whole aesthetic of Little Big Planet is like cardboard, right? And like cut up newspapers and like...
Do-it-yourself. You made it out of...
It's very do-it-yourself, and it's very like small scale, right? It's like, when you imagine the scale of that world, you imagine it being like on a table.
Yeah.
And so the story should have had that same scale, but I guess it's because there was a large budget or it was a AAA title, so now there's like the dragon of unimagination coming and breathing like unimagination fire across like
what is it? It's like an alien creature. It's called like Unimagined.
Like Animaginor or something.
It's right there.
And there's like motion blur and like rock and roll, and you're like, this is completely out of tone for this series.
I was bored with the cause. I was like,
no, I was totally over it. Yeah. So Little Big Planet 2, not that great. Just go buy some Legos. Buy some Legos. Or if you want to make a game, just make a fucking game. Yeah. You do not need to buy a game to make a game. Little game within the game.
No, the amount of time it takes to make Little Big Planet, especially.
Bro, I heard you loved games.
So I'm doing some Unity right now. I'm doing some Unity right now, and it's easier to put together something in Unity than it was
people are
for
like,
me
dude,
to put something
check this
in
out. I just
Big
made
Planet.
Asteroids in Little Big Planet. I'm like, that's awesome. I have Asteroids on my computer.
I don't need download in 10 seconds. Yeah, so, that was the thing that really bugged me was a Little Big Planet. It was cool when somebody made a computer, I guess. I mean, that's kind of like fun, but everybody was just doing those like, oh, it's Mario and Little Big Planet, or is this? And it was like, oh, great, you just made a bunch of really mediocre versions of games.
This kind
of
comes
back. I want someone to make Little Big Planet, and then within that one,
there's another Little Big Planet.
Someone made Little Big Planet.
It's like Inception.
So it's really weird how people get really excited about seeing something they know in something else.
Yeah, it really is.
It's the obsession with meta nowadays.
Well, it's sort of like when people... So the big one is Steampunk Palin. I really just want to talk about Steampunk Palin.
I knew you were going to get to that.
And specifically Steampunk, where people are like, look, it's Star Wars, but they're all dressed Steampunk
explain
style.
Explain
Logan,
Steampunk
hate
Palin.
Steampunk, right?
Logan hates Steampunk.
Hate with a passion Steampunk. So Steampunk...
By the way, I check IO9, and when I asked you, where is Steampunk popular nowadays? You said IO9. I think you hate Steampunk so much that every time you see a single article, you just imagine the entire day has been nothing but Steampunk. Because I've never seen a Steampunk article.
Swarming.
I talk to you, it's swarming the nation,
well,
Steampunk.
Okay, so the big place you see Steampunk is Maker Culture. Should I explain Maker Culture a little
bit?
Sure,
and do Steampunk Palin.
People can Google it.
I haven't seen Steampunk in such a long time.
Okay, so Maker Culture is where people go and craft stuff on their own, but a lot of times they'll have electronics, so somebody will make their Kinect hacks. So when people do the Kinect hacks where you stick your hand out and select things.
Yeah.
That's a Maker Culture thing. Or somebody made a bicycle that shoots graffiti out the back and prints out messages that you type into your cell phone. That's Maker Culture. And a humongous part of Maker Culture is Steampunk. And I blame that it makes me sad because it's people who are really talented but who are creatively bankrupt. Steampunk is like a creative bedazzler.
It's like this typewriter is set in oak.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's like let's add oak and brass, and suddenly it's something new.
How
and
crazy would it be if this car ran by steam instead of an engine?
But the things are never truly steampunk. It's like they take their MacBook and they cover it in.
I know they never go all the way.
It's like a wood finish,
look, an engravement.
So yeah. I guess maybe steampunk isn't as prevalent as I may make it seem, but I certainly see a lot of it.
Well, the amount you see is still too much is the main issue.
I want to see no steampunk.
You want to see no steampunk.
No steampunk. So there was a comic book that came out this week that everybody's been talking about, and Sarah Palin as a superhero in a steampunk world fighting a robot Obama.
Okay.
And the real argument going on right now is if the author likes Sarah Palin or doesn't.
Or is this worth discussing at all? That's a third option.
And what is your view on this?
Should we care?
My view on it is the Venn diagram of people who like Sarah Palin and people who like steampunk has very little overlap.
Oh, yeah. It's a single circle.
Yes, everybody who likes Sarah Palin loves
steampunk. You're right. They probably don't touch.
No.
There's probably one person in Iowa.
But it must be a parody, right?
Yeah, I'm assuming. It has to be. There's no way.
It's a clear joke.
I don't think how many people Obama, like steampunk really? Like Robot Obama, I guess. I don't know. I think, it's probably...
This sounds like the dumbest thing of all time, by the way.
I mean, I want to read it.
Oh, you haven't even read it?
I can't find it.
It's sold out in comic stores across the nation. The hottest selling comic book since Action Comics 4. Sarah Palin fighting
Maybe they finally Obama. Managed to unite the worlds. Maybe all the Palin fans are going out to check out the steampunk.
Oh my gosh, how incredible would that be?
Okay, so when you say the prevalence of steampunk scares you a little bit?
The best quote I have about steampunk is some dude said, steampunk is what happens when goths discover brown.
That puts a little fear in me. And speaking of fear, Logan, you mentioned Fear 1 and 2 today.
Oh, smooth.
See,
one,
I'm trying
Matt.
To get
Good
the transitions
okay.
getting
right.
smoother. So what do you think about Fear 1 and 2? You brought that up today.
It is a fellow on Twitter whose name is Tim, I believe.
Tim? Yeah.
Shout out his name.
Twisted Tim.
I doubt he got Tim. He was the first guy on Twitter, and he got Tim.
It's like, oh, I want to add Tim. Congratulations on getting Tim.
Oh, I hope I got my name on here. Oh, so my God, it's available. What luck.
We got Tim.
So anyways, he wanted to talk. He asked me about Fear 1 and 2. I've never played them. You guys?
Oh, that's all you had to say.
The guy's name is...
No, that was literally it. I've never played
Fear. The guy's name is Tim Kim.
I played both of Fears. They're okay. That's you would dislike them.
Why would I dislike them?
It's like bullet time.
All right. Yeah. So if you like, imagine. So you had some issue with amnesia as far as not knowing what to do. So imagine if instead Amnesia had incredible gunfights with the best AI you've ever played. Because Fear does have incredible AI. And you're playing, you're shooting, it's enjoyable, slow motion, it's just like really visceral. And then the moment you're done, you're stuck in the most mundane, like office space office. Level design.
When you're done,
you've
ever you're in
Dilbert. It's and like, you have no idea where the. And this is a linear game that somehow you still have no idea where the fuck you're
really
supposed to go.
It's really terrible level design. Is what
you're awful level design.
Well, everybody also, looks the same, so for some reason, around. It's like, what's the most terrifying setting we can come up with? Dark caves? No, not dark caves. What
an
about
office.
An office.
At night.
At night.
With voices that appear every once in a while.
It's like, that's it. Really?
Fear 2. Like,
it is a little scary.
That's where I'm. That's that's where you're usually at.
Yeah.
So like, what's more terrifying than a place you're at every
well,
day?
Also, the only scary thing about Fear was every time you're done with a gunfight, I was scared that I was spending another 45 minutes before I found the next gunfight. That was the scariest thing about Fear.
Well,
that's
and here's the thing too. Fear did that thing which I think we're finally moving out of, which is the little girls are scary.
Seriously. All right.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I knew this was leading to this. Is little girls are scary.
All right. So my big issue with horror movies in general is most bad guys in horror movies, I'm like, I could beat him up.
Like, a little girl is the epitome weakest. Of something
like,
you could beat up.
There is nothing that I can manhandle harder than small children. Like, I can kick those suckers across
the room. I was hoping you wouldn't say little girls.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing like, I remember, this is a man who thinks he's the fastest man in the world.
Fastest
so clearly,
man alive,
so clearly girls
kicker
beat up.
Of small children. Expert destroyer.
Yeah, little girls are not.
Well, what was that one
scary.
With that little kid? You remember there was one with the little boy? There was one that was like, ooh, I'm going to change
Ju-on. Are you talking about Ju-on?
Grudge? No. There was another one. It was an American.
Oh,
Omen.
The Omen. Yes. It's such bullshit. It's like, why am I scared of this child? Like, I can just pick him and throw him up.
Just throw him into the air. Well, Logan, what is terrifying to you then in a movie?
What's a scary movie to you?
The Ring, dude.
The Ring is scary.
It's like a girl, though.
No, it's a television, man. I can't punch static. That shit's invincible, yo. Can't beat a television.
Like, up
and
throw up.
And you know you'd watch it, too, because you're the sort of guy, I'm assuming you've watched, I know you've watched, every bad thing you've heard on the internet that can be watched, Logan has watched, I'm assuming.
I've seen
so
it
if
all.
You heard there's a video that would kill you if you watched it, you would watch out of pure curiosity.
Oh, absolutely.
And you would
absolutely.
Die.
And like, oh, man.
No, it wouldn't die.
One of the most terrifying moments of my life was one time my computer monitor woke up. It was asleep, and my computer monitor woke up without me touching it. Oh. I just couldn't go to bed.
So remember the most terrifying moment. The most terrifying moment I've ever had is remember when those pop up advertisements used to have sounds to them. I mean, I guess they still do, but not as much. There was when Planet of the Apes come out. I remember specifically. I was late at night. I was on computer. I was just done playing Call of Duty, and I had the volume up really, really loud because I was playing in my headphones. I took off the headphones. And I was getting ready to sign off, and Planet of the Apes by Tim Burton. Advertisement popped
like
up behind my window.
Like Tim Burton.
By Tim Burton. Popped up behind it, and the thing that it said was kill all humans. Now the volume was so loud, it was super late at night. I had no, there was no visual came up.
Did you take a swing at it?
I fucking, I almost passed out. I was just like, it was like kill all out of nowhere from the speakers as I was turning off the computer. It's still like the most terrifying thing. No game has matched that moment in my life.
My latest moment of fear was I was driving down the freeway and somebody was listening to rap music in the car next to me. And I don't know, like it must have been like the sound waves or traveling between the cars just right. But it sounded like there was a dude sitting in the passenger seat. And he just went, "What's up?" And I was like, I swerved the car. I was just like, whoa.
What happened?
Also, Blaze really good at walking in my room and hanging out there for like a good 15 minutes and talking to me before I realize he's actually in the room with me.
And you're not listening to him?
I've been talking to him. Like, I literally have whole conversations with him. And then I'll turn around and be like, "Holy shit, you're in this room!"
I can't help but think, Logan, if you were a primitive man, you'd be unable to survive in the wild. It's like, what is this crunching noise? It's a lion!
But he would be the fastest.
That's true, though. You would be the fastest, but at the same time, anything could sneak up on you.
This is true. Did I ever tell you guys about the time I was in Hawaii with Blade? Mm-hmm. And he like knocked on the door and opened the door and he was there.
So far, this is pretty mundane. So far,
he knocked on the door and surprised. But he was there when he opened the door.
I did not expect him to be there.
What did you expect?
What did you expect him to hear a knock?
I don't know, but I just, I don't remember this. I was only told after the fact. I must have blacked out. And I just slowly raised my hand and like grasped his throat and just choked him. For like 10 to 15 seconds, and he was like, "Logan, what are you doing?" Logan. And then I was like, "Whoa, hey man, you spooked me there."
So you're spooked by, you heard a knock on the door, you opened the door, and there was a person there.
There was
and that
a
scared you.
In person.
See, I would have been terrified there was not a person there, and then I turned around, there was a person behind me. That would have been scary.
Oh, that's giving me chills.
Yeah. that shit's insane.
We're writing this down, Freddie. But yes, in fact, the scariest thing to me is static on a television.
Static on television,
things I cannot take swings at spook me.
So things that Logan cannot literally punch are scary to him.
Anything you could punch, you could take down.
Yeah, anytime I start getting spooked about the dark or whatnot, I'm just like, dude, I could just turn around and clock that sucker. Like, what am I scared? What am I afraid of?
In fact, you should be afraid of me.
My fist?
And you got two of those.
I got another one where that came from.
This is kind of off topic. You just made me think about talking about scary stuff, which is not scary. But have you continued watching Doctor Who? And if so, I'm just curious, because all I heard you say was that it was WB.
So but not I tried to watch Doctor Who.
Okay, so you got out of it after a certain point.
Oh, I gotta say, I like the first Doctor the most.
Eccleston.
I like
how much. How far are you into it?
See, episode 2.
So I've watched 2 episodes. Have you seen another Doctor?
No. I saw the entire first season.
Okay.
And so we switched to the Doctor that everybody loves, right?
Whoever, David Tennant.
Yeah, he can go suck a dick.
So you've only seen 2 episodes of that. Yeah, that's fair. Season 2 is rough, but keep watching.
He's just he's such a little punk ass bitch.
Mm-hmm. And Logan, as we are well aware, hates of all things punk ass bitches.
There is nothing worse.
And he's never seen any Doctor before, so Eccleston's your first Doctor. So the guy with the leather coat who's kind of a hard ass.
And who's the bad guy in the G.I. Joe movie?
Guy in the G.I. Joe movie, by the way.
Everybody keeps throwing that one around.
Yeah. It just blew my mind when I first saw him. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I totally didn't recognize him. Like, does he wear a mask in the G.I. Joe
movie? No, he's like the, I don't know who he is.
So I'm surprised you got through the whole first season. I try to get people on Doctor Who.
I enjoy the first season. It's good enough to watch while you're eating.
Yeah.
Or like while you're vacuuming or doing things other than watching it. It's good.
it's a good show to not watch.
Exactly. It's good background noise.
He's watching me just get sad.
So, have you guys seen the Carl Sagan fake NASA commercial yet?
No.
The one that those guys sort of put together as like a, hey, you know what? We got to get back into space.
Well, they're just like, NASA's marketing sucks. Let's make our own NASA video.
See that.
And
so
it's a bunch of stock footage and then like, Carl Sagan.
I think I tweeted that actually.
Dude, that thing broke me.
Dude, I was in awe. I loved it.
Broke you.
Like literally every morning I watch that and I'm just reduced to tears as I'm eating my breakfast of beef jerky and mixed fruits and nuts.
I'm surprised you said that because I think I've watched that every day since I've tweeted it as well.
Oh yeah, no, it's really
inspiring.
Can I wait? Hold on. What movie? Oh, Million Dollar
Baby.
It was
Carl Sagan's talk.
Oh, Million Dollar Baby. Oh, you're talking about a movie. That reduces me. That
was utter jelly.
Have you seen it a second time yet?
No.
We should revisit.
I don't know if it'll break me as hard, but yeah, that's the only movie that I've actually moaned with sadness.
Like, I wish I was in that theater when I heard Logan.
I literally went. Like, I was making like a full on frowny face as my shirt lifted.
Which part did it?
Soaked. Oh, the whole movie, man.
But your shirt was soaked in tears.
What was the moment you moaned?
So you came out of that theater looking like you stepped off an amusement park ride.
Splash Mountain.
Absolutely.
You were just off Splash Mountain.
Absolutely.
With your own tears.
Okay, so the thing about crying in movies, or I guess probably crying in general.
Sure.
It's like, against crying.
With every time you cry, you become more and more susceptible to restart again.
It's true.
So like if you see a sad movie and there's one crying moment, the next sad movie you watch, if you watch them in a row, like you'll be more... ready to break down in tears. And that's what happened with Million Dollar Baby. Is like
I started crying everywhere.
At the half hour moment, like there's something that made me like tear up. But then like by like an hour in, like just like meaningful looks was enough to make me like just be like, oh,
I know what she means.
I know what she means. Clint Eastwood, like it's such a hard ass, but he really loves her deep down.
I wonder what the first moment was. Do you remember what the first moment was?
No, I totally don't remember.
You don't remember the moment.
It's all blurry.
The whole movie
is just blurred, seen through a veil of tears.
I'm trying to think. I should make a list.
I get caught up in movies. I get teary-eyed in many movies.
Oh, the only one that people are mystified by me getting teared up in is Master and Commander.
Oh my god! No, I got teary-eyed in Master and Commander. Is it when the kid?
No, it's when they take the dying scientist back to the Galapagos Islands.
Oh, yes. Well, that's just, the whole montage. Dude,
like the thing that always hits me really hard is like brotherly love and fatherly love. So those two are like.
And then also, and this is again something people don't know about you, was you're terrified of getting crippled.
Oh, right? This is true.
So that's what Million Dollar Baby.
You just said
that
Million Dollar Baby was Million Dollar Baby for all those people who haven't seen it.
It's about somebody breaks their nose. It's happened. They watch it anyways.
The spoiler alert.
Yeah, and Rosebud's the sled. So no, because people don't know this, and I don't know you guys. I think I've told you this. You've made me swear to you that if you ever ever are in some kind of accident where you lose the use of a limb or a leg or something, that I will kill you. You made me promise that I will find you in your hospital. Even if you at that time are saying, no, 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 Freddie, don't do it. You're saying now, of sound in mind, of like, sound body in mind, I want you to find me and kill me if I can't.
This is true. Freddie would never do it.
I did make you promise that.
Look at us drunk when this happened.
Freddie would never do it.
Surprisingly.
No, I've done this many times sober. There's other Freddie who can guarantee this.
But you know that I'm not the only one.
Why did you choose Freddie? Have you asked this of anybody else? Because I can guarantee this will not happen if Freddie's the only person you've asked.
You're right. I probably should get some backup.
You should get somebody
else. I'm starting to rethink it because I've been doing a lot of thinking about the future lately. I've been thinking about the future a lot.
Sure. Okay.
And I think in the future,
it's not going to matter.
We'll get robot arms.
Yeah.
We're almost there. So do you release
me from your death pact?
No, not yet. And I'm imagining this scenario now where it's like I'm knife fighting Freddy as he's like, "Listen, I have a promise to keep to you." As I'm like robotic one arm, like trying to shake him.
That shake looked a lot like a mask.
So on the future, what do you guys think? What do you guys think will happen in the future?
So do you think singularity is on the
horizon? Yeah, I haven't thought about singularity in ages.
There's a guy on my message board.
Explain what singularity is.
Singularity is the idea that intelligence and I guess AI is just so advanced that it just, you know, it reaches a limit.
No, incorrect.
Singularity is specifically the point at which computers become conscious.
Yeah, and well,
and at that point, because they think so much faster than us, they would just go like. Like,
well, the AI reaches the limit. Like, so if you graph a curve around the limit, essentially they've already hit that point where it's infinity. Like, they've gotten there.
And then they become a giant gray goo and they destroy us all.
Not going to happen.
Not necessarily.
You don't think it's going to happen? Why not? But here's the thing. No, Brandon's shaking his head like, no, this is bullshit. Like, what's your view of singularity?
You know, you always hear this. It's like, okay, well, it gets smarter. And then as it gets smarter, it gets smarter faster. And the idea is that, okay, it's going to exponentially hit this point. But there's always the big turning point where they say, okay, it becomes conscious. It's like the idea that...
No, they're not talking about consciousness.
A quantity of smartness equals a limit of consciousness.
The one I've heard specifically was the idea that a computer gets to a point where it can write its own AI,
it starts iterating on itself.
It can create more of itself. You know what I mean? So it's like, if it's at the point where it gets, which I don't see that.
I've never been one who believes in the robot apocalypse. Like, because we have to build robots. And if we, it's not like robots would stealthily create themselves. Like, we would know. It's like, what's that factory that nobody uses anymore? Like, oh, robots fucking making robots. We should bomb the shit out of that place. Like, that wouldn't happen. But I don't think it's so much that AI would simply take over as much as like our use of AI more and more will use AI and we're already getting a shit ton. I was just bringing that they had a research where they talk about our memories decreasing because people externalize memory nowadays, so we don't have to, like me, I don't fucking remember anything. I pull out, it's like, well, we were talking at the dinner table. I pull out my iPhone. It's like, okay, what were we talking about? Oh yeah. And then I find the answer on the iPhone. And the question is whether or not that's a bad thing. I don't think it is. I think it's the future. It's going to happen.
Yeah, well, we're going to externalize information more and more. You hear about stories in the past where guys, like, you know, they memorize the Bible. They memorize whole works of fiction passed down orally. They have entire 19 languages and all this stuff. And now I used to be able to remember a telephone number. Now I can't because I have the iPhone for it.
Well, as long as
what's interesting about one of the side effects of that is because everybody's like externalized memory and actually there's very little memory usage, feats of memory now are like incredible to people. Like it's like the kind of, because there was a guy in Denver who the zip code man, right?
Yeah.
Was it Denver? Or?
I mean, that's ridiculous. The bigger trade-off is that they're finding, you know, obviously people are cognitively more powerful or their logical thinking stronger because we do only have so much processing power essentially. I mean, so if you externalize more, not Logan. Logan, hey Logan, give me a beer too.
All right.
Thanks. as we're intelligent discussion, it was weird. I had this discussion multiple times during the break with two of my best friends. Are two of the smartest dudes I ever know. One dude's like Dartmouth grad, the other guy's Harvard grad. And one is a little bit like Brian, where he doesn't think it's going to be AI, and the other one's going to be a doctor. And he was thinking that AI and computers should replace most of doctors' functionality. Like, most of what doctors do should be replaced by computers because they could do it, without a doubt, better because they externalize what doctors have learned. The problem with people is that they don't freaking explain. You can't take all the data that people have. So, I don't know. I mean, I think the future is going to be... It's going to be different. It's going to be pretty cool soon.
Really,
Matt? It's going to be very different.
Two things about singularity. First of all, There's different theories about how singularity would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite theory is singularity has already happened. Like,
and we just don't know it.
Well, and they just don't give a shit about us. They're like, look at those lowly humans. So they just go off and do their own thing.
There's people who seriously believe that computers are already sentient and being like, these humans
are foolish.
Where are they? And what are they doing?
People and
they're just watching porn.
Do you guys think we'll ever let cars drive themselves? So, yeah. For instance, Volvo. Volvo is trying to make it so you cannot crash your car by 2020. That a car crash is impossible with a Volvo.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going
to
happen.
My idea is always, if
I own another car,
I don't think we're going to accept it. Like, if you're like, hey, listen, this car's not going to let you crash, you know, I'd freak out. Like, I need control over my car.
I think in America, where car driving and like vehicles and like the open road is such a pervasive part of the culture, I don't think that's ever going to, that's the hurdle for it here.
I used to always think that stuff until I realized that there's people already 10 years younger than me who think completely different than me. I don't think I may not accept it, but I think people will accept it.
Well, here's the thing.
But I was going to say, if Volvo claimed they couldn't crash their car, if I didn't own a Volvo, it would be a challenge for me to hit a Volvo.
Oh,
as hard as possible.
Absolutely.
I mean, every intersection
it would turn into like Matrix or the Burly Brawl. Every Volvo would be a target.
I mean, it would just be watching this AI avoid me as I desperately try to hit it on the freeway.
I've always thought people just messing around in their cars. They'd be sitting there texting, they'd be sitting there doing whatever, you know.
Barrel rolls and donating around.
I've always wanted cars to have like ramps that go down on all sides so that they're like giant, like, you know, like,
so in, basically a battle box.
You know, like in mini golf, the mini golf one where it's like the little cone where you have the really hard one to hit, all cars like that, so that whenever accidents happen, they just all just go airborne, like
they just ramp.
They just ramp off into the
well, see, I'm gonna correct the Volvo statement. I think it actually is no fatalities in a Volvo.
Okay.
They're just pumping their car full of like jelly. Volvo,
so it's basically Demolition Man where it fills with
foam. Speed Racer already solved that problem. Yeah. The moment you get hit, you turn into a giant jelly ball and you fly out of the car.
Demolition Man did the same thing.
Yeah, it worked perfectly fine.
Well, it was 10 years
my
earlier.
Opinion in the future is that it's not going to change nearly as fast as everyone thinks, because all through
everyone
history, you look
faster
at what like happened to eight. Like every time there's predictions of where we're going to be at a certain time, we've never come close.
But no, it's not we never come close. It's we don't foresee the big change.
Because we weren't on the moon, but they also didn't predict that we would be able to communicate across the entire planet instantaneously.
Exactly. Like they were focusing on travel technology.
Yeah, the moon is a lame. Yeah, it was all about a lame prediction compared to the internet as it is today and the information world is right now. Nobody could predict.
We lured
that
in by flying cars.
Flying cars is like lame compared
but
to.
But you know what? All this stuff, what we're describing is a pretty small picture. Yeah. I'm talking like 500 year future.
Oh well,
I've been thinking a lot about becoming godmen.
This is gonna get. You're talking about. Oh my gosh.
Okay. The only problem is that.
This happened. I saw Social Network.
Yeah.
And there's those two twins, right?
Two godmen.
One guy.
So there's these two twins in this movie. And
played by
like,
one guy, by the way. Played by one guy.
Played by one guy, but he actually has a twin.
So I guess how bad does that feel, by the way? Okay. Hey, I just got the new Fincher movie. Really? Dave Fincher? He did Zodiac. I'm playing these brothers. They're twins. I'm a twin. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's just that, you know, they're going to CG me as both. They want me as both.
It's so weird. They actually had the other twin stand in for the twin and act out with his twin, but then they comped him out at the end and replaced him with the...
Oh, just for the acting parts. I'm sure there's plenty of times where they used him as...
Like the back of the head and stuff. Anything, I assume, you know. So.
They have to.
But anyway, so
make him feel better.
These two
twins
are...
at a sandwich table. It's like, oh, I'm just...
They're like, what, like 6'5", like 220 pounds, so giants. They're incredibly good-looking, intelligent, like incredibly polite. Basically, they're Superman. It's just two Supermen. Mm-hmm. And then you realize that Harvard's filled with these people. And no matter
slow down.
The whole row team is like this, and these people are around.
Rowing though, rowing people are screwed up. The crew guys are weird.
How come?
Well, I've known crew people, and they're always like, it's always like, oh, gotta get my split down. And it's like so into it. You know what I mean? It's like
Is that like a constellation?
It's the machine, right? The machine that they train on. And they get so intense into it. And
well, that's sports in general, though. I mean,
but you know, here's what I would say though. I would say crew though more so than any other.
Just because
sport.
It's a football? Repetitive motion over and over again.
More so than football. Yes. More so than
football. He's saying crew people are weird. But basically,
one of my roommates was in crew, and I went to a few of the USC crew parties, which, by the way, I guess were like the most intense parties at USC.
No one parties
like the crew do. They are all really weird people because they wake up earlier than any sports people I know, other than maybe like divers and some swimmers, because they'll wake up really early. And they have to drive really far. And they do crew, which is nothing but repetitive motions for like 3 or 4 hours. Nobody watches them. So they also don't get any real satisfaction unless you're at like Harvard or Yale.
Exactly.
USC.
Nobody gives a shit.
Did anybody know there's a crew team? I only knew because I had a roommate who was on crew. And he was a weird dude. So
are they more into working out than football players, though?
It's different.
It's not about into working out or like into the sport. It's about just like the fanaticism.
No, I guess that's why it's weird because, yeah, football players and stuff are into working out, but they're kind of in that like bro culture, like that fraternity culture.
And there's a lot of external motivation.
No, they are. They have camaraderie amongst themselves.
Amongst themselves, yeah. But they're not, they're different than, they don't work out the same way. They were like, I'm going to impress girls with this. They're just like, I need a crew.
You're right. No crew guys are interested in impressing girls.
But ultimately, what it comes down to is like, yeah, that's a true story. So every once I feel pretty awesome. I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling pretty awesome. Like, I'm pretty smart, pretty good looking. I'm some hot shit right here. But no matter how cool, you think you are, there are godmen walking around out there.
There are godmen.
6'5", beautiful, smart, intelligent super beings walking around. And you catch glimpses of them, like, floating through the clouds. Like, you'll, like, turn a corner on the street, and they'll just be, like, three golden gods strutting down the sidewalk, and then they'll vanish into thin air.
That's what I feel like when I see John Hamm. I just, like, I wish.
John Hamm is...
John Hamm's a godman.
He's a godman.
Like, I wish.
And they're around.
Have you seen any in walking around here in L.A., Logan?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
You see them.
Do you attempt to address them at all, or do you just sort of, like, bow?
You see them out of the corner of your eye as you drive.
You don't see them for more than 5 or 6 seconds whenever they vanish again.
Clay Matthews was a god, man.
Clay Matthews?
USC, the linebacker.
This is Brandon's hero.
What's so god?
You would like him because he looks vaguely like you.
A lot like you. He has basically long blonde hair about down to here.
But he's like 6'5" and like...
He's a football player, like a scholar, like a philosopher.
Is he smart, though? Is he a scholar and a philosopher?
He's the smartest guy at getting to the quarterback I've ever seen.
Which is a kind of
so smart. He's a soldier. I wouldn't call him a god, man. A god man is a man who
Godmen are the guys who like... They literally speak in poetry, like they
while
speak
also
in
being able to pass 400.
Exactly.
In fact, they're reciting or they're speaking in poetry as they're benching 400.
Exactly.
And they usually glow. Like you'll see them at night giving off light. it's pretty incredible. So my interpretation of Social Network then with those two twins is it's literally the story of Prometheus stealing fire from the gods. Like this.
That may be the best interpretation of that movie ever.
Like, it's literally about this, like, lowly, nevish, nerdy guy stealing this great idea from these two godmen strutting the earth.
So how do you think that rowing scene fits into that? That's a really out there scene.
With the weird music.
And these two godmen, and they lose.
Oh, that's
what happens. Why did they lose?
Them getting cast off from Olympus
because they lost the fire.
Zeus does not stand for that.
Godmen though, shouldn't they just be able to come up with another
also,
even better idea?
The writer is Sorkin, right?
Gods aren't all powerful.
The writer of the movie, like completely anti technology too. So it wouldn't surprise me if he took from the classics rather than technology and the internet.
So the other interesting thing about Social Network is it's the first movie, like, so, like, you know how Forrest Gump has those scenes that, like, are clearly manufactured for, like, 40-year-old people to be like, oh, I remember that moment, like, on television.
Oh, yes, when this happened.
JFK shook that hand, or, like, I remember that, like, shot from the Revolution.
The Revolutionary War.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
For old people who still remember that. And the movie is about the Revolutionary War.
Facebook is the first movie where I had one of those scenes, like, when they say drop the on the Facebook. Like, I bet a lot of people out there are going to be too young to actually remember
Facebook.
Had to be at either an Ivy League school, because USC just got, there used to be only Ivy League school, and then a few
In 2004, that summer, we got it.
USC was one of the first schools.
And it's just, it's so bizarre to, like, make that connection. It's such a cheap thing for a movie to do, too. Like,
Do you feel gypped by that?
If you use low hanging fruit and it works, I don't mind. Like,
it's delicious fruit.
Exactly.
Man.
Like, yeah, I don't care where that apple came from if it's delicious. You know? So I just think it's interesting little ploy they used to, like, get you wrapped up in the story that could have been about a toaster. Like, it didn't have to be about Facebook. But they decided to use the brand and the actual names because you make that connection.
Yeah.
Anyways, what else do we got on the agenda?
I don't know. What did you talk about? I mean,
what else did I want?
I guess there's a Steve Jobs situation.
He's dying. He's dead. Steve Jobs is dying, or he's
dead.
I had
a random thought. What do you think about achievements? Because Nintendo doesn't really talk back to the industry very much. Everybody takes pop shots at Nintendo for the past 10 years, and they just sit there making more money than anybody can ever make.
Yes.
Right. And then they finally actually responded. They said something about, somebody asked them about achievements, and I don't think it was our good man Reggie that said it. It was just somebody that was just pretty much said that Nintendo games don't need achievements because our games are fucking awesome. And they're fun in spite of themselves, which was interesting to me because I do get achievements sometimes, but I've never been a big fan of
Really, Matt? Because I seem to recall clearly, you have the highest.
You did a barrel.
I do, but I just play
a roll through.
I just play a lot of games.
In, Need for
Speed. Oh no, Burnout Paradise is my Paradise greatest moment. But that was more for the sheer thrill of it. No, because I was just like,
I was there for 3 hours while you attempted it.
Yeah. So
says Matt. So it means I don't buy it when
No. What I'm saying is, without doubt, achievements are one of the most important kind of changes in gaming right now, and very clearly they're very popular. I think they externalize rewards a lot, and I miss GoldenEye 64, where I got, you know, paintball mode, and I got various actual rewards that actually changed the gameplay, rather than just points that mean nothing. No, you can. I mean, I can put my name up. You guys can see my gamer score. I have like 90 games, all of which have like 300 points each. I've never gone to get like 1,000 points in almost anything, except for Viva Pinata, which is why I declared Game of the Year whenever that year came out. Whatever the year that was.
I've never tried Viva Pinata.
It was before. The same year as Shadow's Colossus.
By the way, guys, I want to do a game on here. Have you guys heard about 999?
Yeah, yeah. Novel, right?
Yeah, but it's supposed to be life changing.
It's supposed to be really good. I don't know if I ordered it or not. I was looking to play it soon.
Wasn't that when The Omen came out?
9999. Yeah, I think that was their whole.
Yeah,
marketing campaign. No, 666. No, 666.
I had to add backwards.
So 999. So you play it again?
I want to play this game, but I got this problem, you guys. I don't have a Nintendo DS, so I'm going to need to borrow.
All right, Logan. How about this? If you buy the game, you can borrow my DS.
Oh man, I'll totally buy it. You know why?
And then when you're done, you give it to me, and I'll play it.
I'm going to go on and I'm going to go on a limb and actually endorse Amazon Prime. I think it's the best thing ever.
Oh, it is the best thing ever.
It's incredible. So Amazon Prime, if you don't know what it is, you should pay $70 for a year, and then you get 2-day free shipping on everything.
Logan, did you pay $70 for a year?
No, students.
I was about to say, I hope you know that there's a student plan.
Get a full year free.
So it's worth actually applying to like a $20 trade school or something to get an EDU email.
Exactly.
Rather than paying $70 for Amazon
Prime.
Or
you could do what we did, which was like, there's like 8 people on this Prime account, right?
Yeah. So that's the other thing. I had a Prime account that like everybody I know uses. And can like my boss at Disney used it, and she does not need to not pay $80. It was like everybody knew.
It's so weird that it's open for such like intense gaming of it, right?
Well, the ridiculous thing is like
they don't care.
They don't care. Like you buy so much more shit at Amazon. I've bought such ridiculous.
There's no ridiculous shopping anymore.
Ridiculous thing that you've bought recently.
I bought a DMX VJ mixer for stage lights. I'm gonna do some serious VJing.
One time I bought pens off Amazon because I had Prime because it was free shipping and it was 2-day shipping. It didn't matter how much it cost. They're big pens. They're $1 off and there's no tax.
Big pens.
I think I've spent maybe $400 at Amazon in the last 2 weeks since I got Amazon Prime, and I don't think this rate's gonna drop. Like by the end of the year,
Amazon Prime is a very good thing for them.
Absolutely, I assume the only reason they charge money is to motivate you to like get your money's worth once you buy. Like, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's like they don't need to charge, but
it could have been free.
It installs a sense of value. It's like, I understand that this is something I should pay for it, so I need to use it.
It makes you think to use it. How many times I'm in the store and my girlfriend's the same way now. We go shopping and she never buys anything anymore because she takes my iPhone and she sits there and she checks the Amazon prices and she ends up just shopping in life just to find a list of things she's going to order off Amazon. And then she goes to Amazon because it's cheaper.
That's the future right there. All stores.
That's what I was going to say. So in the future, do you guys think there'll be malls? Will there be malls in the future?
Where will all the kids go hang?
You need to be able to try clothes.
Yeah, clothes are the one thing.
But what happens when we have 3D models of ourselves?
That's true. And you start getting like virtual reality elements.
That is a good
question. Or like,
I can literally do like a little roundabout like with the Kinect and have like pretty accurate measurements of my body.
We're actually assuming that we're not going to have like cloth that will just bind itself to us.
I'm assuming it's in the future.
There's also the idea
just
like
spray on. Everything will be skin.
Well, they're doing Sports Illustrated, so we'll just all be wearing just really well painted.
Paint on our clothes every morning.
I don't know. If you paint my lower body, it would definitely still be clear I'm not wearing pants.
Logan.
So
that's what the scotch tape is for.
There's like the feel of the fabric and everything, right? But I think we'll end up going to like weird flea markets for that. Like, I think we're going to go back to like a Middle East, like Saudi, like flea market. Yeah, exactly. Like, we'll buy our meats off the streets. And anything like more than like meats, grapes, and pants, we'll just get online.
Yeah, buying food online. I buy more and more online. Trying clothes on, you kind of have to try the clothes on.
See, I don't even try my pants on anymore, though. I know that Levi 510s, like I know the waist and everything, and I just order. I just
Once you find your brand and your size, and you just know to stick with
Exactly. So really, they just need like a brand size outlet where you just go on and try pants for a while,
and just guys come by like, let me just find the, your brand for you, and then you can use this kiosk here.
Exactly.
Speaking of that, what's incredible to me is who are the first people who got who would have thought got destroyed by the whole online story? It would have been books, because Amazon.com became a bookseller, and it was much easier to get books. You can browse books more easily.
There should be no more books.
So how did but the bookstores have just gone are doing better and better. How do they do?
No, they're not. Borders is like going bankrupt.
Are they going bankrupt?
Yeah,
I thought Barnes and Noble was doing incredible.
No, they're all dying. No,
oh, okay, never mind. So I was about to say it's completely
they're
wrong.
They're doing great right now.
But well, Matt, if you keep saying it, maybe it'll be
true. No, it's obviously not true.
And here's the thing,
because I thought they got more expensive.
What do you think the first thing to go? Like video stores, but they're doing
Blockbuster's doing great.
Blockbuster's doing great. Up right now.
Blockbuster's
They got replaced by vending machines.
Redbox.
I mean, that's incredible. And I didn't think it was a big deal, but I go to Ralph's now, maybe because we're in the inner city, but I go to Ralph's and there's a bigger line at the Redbox than there is at the checkout now. When I went there, I had to push my cart through a series of families.
Maybe it's because it's the inner city.
what are you implying there? Yeah.
What am I implying? Flat out of that, it's a dollar and it's at the grocery store. So I feel like families, like lower end families, like lower class families,
people
probably
love Redbox is what matters.
They go and they buy their food and then they have the $1
sign. They don't know about
it. Because this was going back to my thought on libraries, because I mean on bookstores, because I assumed that Barnes and Noble and Borders were doing fine because they were charging ridiculous prices for their books.
They're
every time I go there, they're just rich people who sitting there shopping and they buy their philosophy books. And I assume that the way they did is they just made themselves like a luxury item, essentially. Like you go and you enjoy yourself, have a Starbucks at Barnes and Noble and pick up.
I actually really like Borders because they give me 50% off coupons.
Yeah, they give you coupons every once in a
while. Isn't 50% unsolicited 50% off coupons a sign of things are not going so hot right now? We need to get people in here.
Why don't they just drop the prices?
So one of the best rackets ever run on me. Was a buy one, get one free for a full year at Soup Plantation, and then they pulled it. But they knew I was hooked, you know? Like, first hit's always free, but they did it for a full year. And after that, like, now they'll just give me, like, these... It's almost like they'll throw a towel at me. Like, you get a dollar off, and I still just go for it. Like, oh, thanks, sir. Thanks for the dollar.
You love Soup Plantation.
When I went to Soup Plantation last time, I didn't have a coupon, and they gave me a coupon at the register.
Oh, yeah.
To give me a... I'm not a big fan of Soup Plantation, but my girlfriend loves Soup Plantation.
Land of Milk and Honey.
Soup Plantation is a buffet sort of chain here in Southern California.
Mediocre soup and mediocre
salads.
It's
also called Sweet Tomatoes.
Okay, all right. Well, they have a bunch of salads, they have a bunch of soups. And Logan loves.
Why do you love it so much, Logan?
Loves Soup Plantation. You can count,
soups, right?
You can count on, in November, they do like the chicken pot pie soup. You can count on if you're...
chicken pot pie stew is
if you are within
stellar.
10 miles really good, of Logan, you can count on going to Soup Plantation at least 4 times.
So the moment that I probably became a true Soup Plantation buff... was that back when I'd wrestle, I'd starve for 5 days, and then to celebrate the end of the starvation, I'd go to Soup Plantation. So
you sort of Pavlovian response associated
with not starving anymore.
So what do you get there? What are the prime things to get at
Arby's
Soup Plantation?
Is my place.
Yeah, I remember Arby's. Brandon took me to Arby's for the first
time. I heard the roast beef at Arby's is made of like, you know, like chicken feet and like boar brains.
I went there again. After they got rid of their 5 for 5.
Legit beef.
The 555 Arby's has a 555.
They did, and it was that's when we went there. The first time I ever went, Brandon took me, and it was after a midnight movie. And when we went, it was like the most appropriate way to have Arby's. We went there, we got 555, so we all just got 5 things for $5.
Oh, is that what?
And then we didn't have a place to sit, so we pulled into a gas station at like 3 in the morning in Hollywood, and we just sat in the car in a gas station eating just cheap roast beef and fried food.
No, there's a trick to Arby's, and they don't tell you this, because they want to keep it kind of exclusive. Is that the cheese at Arby's?
Members only at Arby's.
The cheese is complete crap.
The cheese is the worst cheese, and they will put tons of it, all your beef, and it is awful. Nobody likes it.
It's
so
the worst thing. I don't even know where they get it.
Put cheese in my burger or my roast beef sandwich, and if you know that, it's really good. But the cheese is awful.
I thought the roast beef sandwich is literally just roast beef in a bun.
That's the original, but now they started putting cheese on it because they wanted to poison all the
locals. I'm an old timer. I haven't been there since the cheese.
Now you have to avoid the cheese. You have to request multiple times. Like, do not.
Yeah, you sure you don't want cheese on this? No cheese. All
right, so the strategy is to have really bad cheese on their meat.
Well, Brandon, you have a really good idea if you ever opened up a burrito joint, right? For
my restaurant thing that I've always wanted to see someone do is say. Basically, you always have the scoop, like a burrito place. You have the scoop that they use to scoop meat. Why not just have a smaller scoop and then have people say, and just ask them, would you like double meat for free? And the idea is that, you know, all the guys, of course, are going to go for the double meat, and this is the best place ever. Because double meat, you take basically for a restaurant, taking things that always cost extra money that you're associated with, like avocado, double meat, double cheese, stuff like that, and giving it for free. But you're really not giving away that much more, because you actually, you don't even need to give away half of it. You give away like three quarters, because you assume that all the girls aren't going to accept it, because then they think they're being healthy.
Wait, you're saying every dude wants to? I wouldn't do double meat.
Well, there you go.
And then there they go. But knowing that offer, it's even better. Even knowing, like, really? Double meat for free? That's pretty cool. That's never been anywhere else. You know? Like, I think you'd feel like you are, you know.
I'm really impressed by the smallest things at restaurants, like where they melt their butter or if they have black straws.
How about this?
That sticks out to me. Yeah, black straws are classic. Like
whipped butter, right?
Well, Brandon and I have this thing where we will take butter. And we'll put, like, if they have a candle, we'll, like, put the thing over the candle so it'll melt. It's like, come on, they have heat lamps. Two things that I can't understand, like, it's, like, the cheapest thing for a restaurant to do, and it makes the restaurant, like, 1,000 times better. Warm up your bread before it comes out here. Do something with your butter. And two, do something with butter.
The butter blocks is pretty...
The butter blocks is, like,
or the little packages. You got to open up your package.
They should open up for you before they give it to you. Flat out.
Every time Freddie and I go to a restaurant, we ask the guy. We're like, "Oh, could we get a candle for our table?" And he always looks at us like, "Okay, guys.
All right, guys. I'll see you guys."
They're known as the gayest dudes.
We have butter above the candle.
Yeah, we'll do a candle, and we'll do like a spoon across it as a support beam, and then the butter thing, and then it'll melt the butter. And then
you melt like heroin.
Exactly.
Like a spoon melting like heroin.
So have we discussed heroin? Did we discuss heroin last week?
No, we haven't discussed heroin yet.
I don't believe we've discussed heroin.
So what do you feel about heroin?
Heroin is classified as the only drug I'd actually like to try.
Really?
Classified.
Who classified
that? It's not a common choice for the only one you'd like to try.
Well, the thing is, like, to me, it's such a...
As classified as usually is the one drug you don't want to try.
I don't even care about what it feels like. I just think it's such like...
I just want that reputation.
It's such a trump card. Like, no matter what people... complained to you about when you reply, "Oh, I did heroin."
Yeah, like, you win the argument.
You win. Like some guy's like, "I lost my legs in Iraq and I saw my whole like unit killed." It'd be like,
"No, that
way." Hey, man, I understand. He's like, "You don't understand." It's like, "No, man, I did heroin." He's like, "Oh."
Oh man,
you're pretty hardcore.
That's pretty right. Man, oh wow!
Because they don't even ask. They assume you've done every other drug.
Yeah, up to that point.
Well, it means right, that like it meant that Everest, I took liquid metal. I literally melted liquid metal and then put in a needle and stabbed it into myself.
It's like saying
I get really amused by like small kind of like ritualistic things. Like you smelling the box. I like to open up my DVDs.
Yeah.
So in movies. Heroin always looks
in
cool.
Commercials. Whenever in commercials, heroin commercials
in movies, heroin always seems like the coolest drug to do because you have so many neat things you get to do with it before you inject it.
You get to like tie your arm off.
It's like a whole lab set.
Exactly, it's like a lab set. It's like something you can do. You tie your arm off and then you like melt it in a spoon. Then you put it in. I don't even know how it works. You put it in the.
Yeah,
I still don't know how many things you have to do despite sitting in a million movies. Cocaine, I could do it.
I think they try to do that intentionally so that you like if somebody's like, "Yo, man, you want to try this heroin?" You wouldn't actually know how to do it. Making a bomb in a movie, like they don't actually want to ever show you.
Spoon, you suck it up the needle. You
because of people like me.
But so you want to try heroin?
I think it'd be a good.
That's
thing
the one drug I think that you can have it once and then you're addicted for life.
I think I could kick it.
Logan, you can punch in the face. Is that one thing you can punch in the face?
Are we gonna talk about the roofies?
Yeah, Logan believes that he can power, quote unquote, power through a roofie. And unfortunately, you're too wimpy to let's ever try it. So this belief stands unchallenged.
Every once in a roofie will end in brain damage,
which you don't want to risk. But
yeah, absolutely not.
But you believe that if we roofied you at a party, you could flex and
I think I could power through that sucker.
The problem is you have to not know that it's happening.
I would get dizzy. I'll admit that. I'll get dizzy. I might slur my speech. I might forget a little bit. But I would stand. I would.
You're
stay
just gonna
standing.
Think that you're tired, though. You're gonna go sit down on a lazy boy somewhere, and then before you know it, you'll pass out.
If you successfully roofied like Logan, how would you teach Logan the lesson to not be this arrogant and prideful? Would you? If he actually passed out, would you hire somebody?
I'm pretty sure
you
have to write on me that says, "Oh, look who got roofied."
That's not enough. Like, I think you'd have to experience what
a
roofie does.
Draw a circle around your neck. I could have been here.
Who's to say you weren't?
Yeah. Were we here?
I'm guessing for the rest of my life.
It's just question.
It's just question mark. Were we here?
Were we here?
You go get tattooed on there.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Here.
Exactly.
Well, I've always wanted to. So this led to a really fun game I wanted to try.
A roofie game.
Well, it'd be like a murder mystery game, like murder dinner theater, where each person gets one roofie and a target. you have to eliminate.
That sounds like the worst idea for a dinner party.
Well, the danger is it turns against me, and everybody decides to teach me a lesson at the same time, and I get like quadruple roofied.
I don't know if that's the danger so much as everybody gets roofied. And there's one person standing who's just sitting there saying, this is the dumbest party I've ever been to.
Or
rapes everybody. Everybody.
A rape page.
A rape page.
goes on a serious bender through this entire place.
How hard is it to... I'll bring this up because it's a little maybe controversial, but Freddie, you brought up one time a study where you said essentially no girl ever gets roofied. And they did this study in Australia where all the rape victims, they you know, did drug tests, and like one out of 100,000 had like roofie in them.
That makes sense.
And then you said it was incredibly hard to get roofie, so we're...
I don't know about that. I know, but what I had read was there was a study that they said that there's a at the very least, it wasn't going to... I don't think we can conclude that like... distinctly, but at the very least, it's that there's a percentage, and like a high percentage of people who like claim that they got roofied, and it turns out they just got drunk.
They just blacked out.
You know,
absolutely.
Because there's a social stigma.
And blacking out drunk are essentially the same thing. Only one's a pill, and one's
right.
Like
and there's also, and I think, and you know, they say it's, you know, probably there's a certain stigma with girls drinking too much.
Yeah,
know,
they don't want to admit that they just drink too much.
Yeah.
To be fair, I would also say I was roofied.
Yeah, I would too.
I would definitely say.
I wouldn't, because that admits that I was wrong.
No, yeah. Look, of course not.
I'd say I got beaten up by a bear. I was assaulted by a bear. I don't know what happened.
Logan would cut himself multiple times and then say he was attacked by a bear rather than admit he was a roofied.
So, anyway, Logan, we're going to try this one of these parties. You'll never know, by the way, for the rest of
your life. We're not going to.
Wait, let's get this right now in the air, though. Yeah. So, Logan, do you give us explicit permission to attempt to roofie?
Absolutely.
No one's ever.
We're editing this to say yes. Yes? Can you say yes about something really quick so we get the sample?
That Y word once.
Yeah. As long as you said it once, that's getting in there.
Judge, we have a proof. We have a podcast. We're in the defendant.
Unedited podcast.
Unedited podcast. Files.
And meanwhile, Logan's sitting in the corner in his wheelchair.
Yeah, seriously.
I didn't know it caused brain damage. That's
No, it's one of those like one in. It's like the same way that marijuana causes
blacking out
causes
brain damage too.
Yeah.
So
it does. That's a popular misconception, actually.
Oh, really? It's actually really helpful.
No,
for you.
Wikipedia has an amazing page called Common Misconceptions. One is that alcohol causes brain damage.
And what?
And what is the
meanwhile,
truth about
Logan's
it?
Furiously. I once edited Wikipedia to win a bet.
I've done that. Yeah. Have you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When someone's like, "What's the definition of this?" and you quickly, like, "Oh,
yeah,
it's
yeah."
This.
No. Like, I used to argue that. God, what movie was that? Sound of Music. It's not a gazebo. It's not a gazebo. It's Sound of Music.
Wait. Who were you arguing with this? And why?
I was just furious that they would call this a gazebo, and so I quick ran to the gazebo page and I put in like a little disclaimer that's like. Like, they'll call the gazebo scene on the DVD menu. Sound of Music does not feature a gazebo.
Logan's the only man. I don't know if a man who argues about gazebos can be the same man who gets attacked by a bear and wins. You have so many contradictions.
Whatever, man. I'm a big gazebo aficionado.
I'd fight a bear in a gazebo.
Really? It doesn't have a roof? I thought I could have sworn it does.
No, it has a roof. My big argument was that it has to be open air, I think.
For it to be a gazebo.
While the gazebo instead of music is windows? In fact enclosed, it was more of a greenhouse. Than a gazebo.
And yeah, and in that way, another argument was won.
The worst is the ones that you really want to argue about are actually locked. So I actually was trying to convince somebody that like lions have been known to drive cars or something. I couldn't get into that article because I guess lions a controversial article.
So they lock it.
They're like too many people trying.
Who
to
Who is
pets.
Arguing about lions? That's an odd thing.
I had some more stuff on my agenda, dude. What else do we have?
Do we? We're getting there.
Yeah, but you're
we're
gonna end this thing.
Well, I think the last thing was
we're gonna cut some of this out. I bet.
Yeah, really quickly. We were talking about the Facebook thing. Freddie sent me an article for some reason. I don't know why. I sent him like it was some like business email. And he sent him back like, "Oh, thanks, dude. I got that. By the way, did you see this article about this car crash that killed three people?" And I was like, "Okay, is this really interesting?" And all it was like a car drove really fast into a bunch of people. So I don't know why I was so excited.
No, Matt's simplifying it.
No, that was very. It flew 50 feet. The car flew 50 feet, which is only 2.5 car lengths. So it's really not that big. But what I noticed was at the end of it.
Feet for pussy.
Yeah.
Well, if I go crash a car, I'm going to make it go huge.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't send somebody an email about a 50 foot car crash.
I won't ever send
you
anything.
You.
I
want better. Ever but again. What I noticed was at the end of that article, it said, do you want to recommend or do you like this article?
Yeah.
And it was a Facebook thing. And it's all it is to recommend articles to people. But it's like. So I started looking at articles and I realized there needs to be a replacement for like, because you could go to like an article about genocide. And then at the end, it's like 100,000. 1,000 people liked this article. Yeah. And it's a thumbs up sign. And all, they're trying to do is recommend it to their friends. They need to change the term. Like is not an appropriate term.
To like, look.
CNN
look.
Should not be using the Facebook like terminology
and this
for.
Was like three people killed in massive car crash.
173 people liked.
This one. This one was good. Guys.
Such a weird.
You guys
your friends
you guys
like
hear
this.
About the, you guys hear about they the gotta change that. You guys hear about the car incident in Los Angeles?
No.
No.
Over in, of course, Crenshaw zone. Like, so this person got hit by a car.
Oh,
survived,
yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
A second car ran over him and killed him. And then the third car, like, stopped and got out to be like.
Good Samaritan tried to help him out.
Like, tried to help this person who wasn't quite dead yet. But then,
got
like,
hit by
a bunch
car.
Of people rushed up and beat the shit out of him.
No. The second. Oh, yeah. it was one guy got hit and he was on the ground. The car hit and run. Second car hit and killed him. Car stopped to try and help this guy out. A car hit that guy. Or no, what, the same guy tried to get a mob.
And the one guy who tried to help, mob beats him up and steals his cell phone.
Why do they beat him up?
He had a cell phone.
Terrible human beings.
Were they just like a gang?
Yeah, I guess.
Because when you say mob, it feels like there's like a group of people who are spectators. No, like, guys, you want to split the cost on the cell phone and we all beat this kid up?
I'm pretty sure it was like a boys in the hood.
Yeah, okay. It must have been.
Which, by the way, reminds me of one of my favorite
stories.
That is
the low point of humanity.
Oh, it's pretty rough.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It reminds me of one of my favorite stories. I don't know, Brandon, you were there, but we went to Yogurtland once over in Little
Tokyo.
Oh,
yeah. This was incredible. Yeah.
And we're coming out there with our frozen yogurt, and we hear just a guy leaning on his horn coming out of a parking garage across the street. And we're looking like, what is this? And the guy's shouting and he's screaming.
He was parked on the facing the wrong direction of the street.
No, hold on.
Blocking the parking lot.
That's later.
Because the guy's
behind him in front of him is like, what the heck? And the guy like goes through the gate and then closes down. And there's yelling. And then he's in front. And I think what it was there's someone going through the gate and the guy behind him like beeped like, hey, hurry up or something. And he's
flipped out.
And so he stands sitting in front of the thing now waiting for the guy behind him to come out. And meanwhile, the gate attendant's like, wait, hold on. And the guy's sitting there and he's like this Asian guy.
Yakuza gangster.
And then he looks the hardest looking dude. And he's sitting there just like puffing a cigarette, like just angry. And he turns.
Facing
and
oncoming traffic, parked in front of the structure, waiting for a man to come out.
And he starts blasting. He turns over, leans over to his radio and starts blasting music. And it's
techno music.
And it's J-pop techno music. It's like.
He's sitting there trying to look as hard as possible.
And he's looking around. He's looking at us. He's looking at everyone across the street. Everyone across the street. I'll stand and look at this guy. He's like, what? What? Like, he's smoking a cigarette. And then he floors it, peels out. Right through the red light, almost hits like.
He almost hits like these three people were crossing the street. Almost hit them.
Almost takes them out and speeds up. And meanwhile,
fades off in the distance. This manly J-pop techno.
And so then the parking attendant's like, "Wait, hold on a second," because his plan was, "I'm going to trick this guy to come out of this parking lot." So I'm going to speed around the block.
I'd like to think the parking attendant was saying, "Like, wait, hold on a second," because this guy does this all the time.
Yeah. And then sure enough, visitor here.
Turns
rolls
the corner
in again, and then the guy's like just losing. Just again, he peels out, like, just going back and forth. And I was like, "What is this guy?" And the cop rolls by.
Well, the guy escaped. The guy quickly drove off. He was going to take him out or whatever.
The cop drove by. And I've never seen so many people on the street.
Yeah, this was the opposite of this moment. This was like a moment of good humanity. Every single person.
He went that way.
Every Starbucks cop. There's Starbucks. There's Starbucks, Quiznos, and everybody. We all jumped down the street.
The only thing that would have made that better was if the cop chased him and somehow took him out and pulled him
over. We don't know if he took him out or not. In my mind, he took him out. I'm just assuming that all the good karma.
Definitely did not take him out.
I'm assuming all the good karma of every person on that street made that guy.
I love the idea of this guy being like, you know what? I'm really hard. I'm really pissed right now. Here's what I'm going to play. Some J-pop. The hardest music known to me.
I mean, when I'm really angry, I listen to Erasure.
Yeah. Erasure?
You're going to have to play a sample of it. You're not going to have it here.
No, I won't.
Oh, put it over my voice right now, Freddie. This is a note from when you're editing this.
Okay.
Play some Erasure right now.
Freddie doesn't edit this.
I don't edit this.
So I tried a game other than Little Big Planet 2 this week. Have you guys tried a Fist of the North Star?
I've seen the anime.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's an actual game out, and it actually features QuickTime events that I'm a fan of.
Oh. I thought you hated QuickTime. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well,
what system is this on?
Huh?
What system?
It's on all systems.
It's on all systems.
Well, at least 360.
Okay.
Which is equivalent to all systems. So my big beef with most QuickTime events is it's just an excuse to like do something while there's a cutscene, right?
Right, yeah.
But the way this third person action game works is like you'll be fighting and then it's time to like power up, right? And like he'll like have to focus his chi, and then I'll show you like six buttons that you have to all hit. Like, so it's like a whole like sequence of buttons. But it totally makes sense because like he's not running around and jumping and doing shit that you should be able to do in a third person action game.
He's just focusing.
He's focusing his fucking chi. And so like it totally makes sense that you would do that through six button presses. And I totally felt like I was focusing my chi as I press like YXABXYY.
I can buy that.
Yeah, no, it totally felt made me feel amped.
Do you ever play the No More Heroes games?
No. No.
No.
They don't make me feel that's amped it. Enough. They don't make
that's the end of the discussion. We can play it.
And on that note, I think it's a good time to stop, actually. Right. So, Logan, you had a game that made you feel super
that's how we're going to end these podcasts. Is it really kind of like just like an awkward, just stop?
Awkward. We're probably going to have to edit this one down. I think there's a few like...
F-bombs don't matter. This is for...
Huh?
This is for...
Anyway, yeah, no, we're not gonna edit this. That's too much work, Logan.
I might just cut just things out. I didn't mean edit it, like rearrange.
If we edit anything, it'll be this part right here.
We just played about 70% faster.
Well, everything will be slightly faster. As well.
Yeah, how long is it right now?
We're at 73 minutes.
Yeah, that is a bit long.
I bet you could cut that down to 60. Like, just get rid of like the boring.
Well, we may cut not. 10 minutes if you wanted to.
Yeah, we may.
Everybody seemed to enjoy the length of the last one, and they just wanted more. So we give them another 7 minutes.
That far, buddy.
They wanted another 7. They want another 7 minutes of this. I didn't see a single negative comment, so we'll just leave this as it is.
Did anybody
email you? This week is going to be.
We're going to keep slowly expanding this podcast by 5 minutes until we get the first complaint saying this was too fucking long.
Guys, I don't have time to listen to 12 podcasts.
I still listen to it though, but I don't have time to do this every week. That'll be the time.
So, all right. The end. Thanks very much.
And we're still recording.
Yeah.
The end.
Until next time.
See you guys.
Bye.